This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton. This is the radio show that will break your neck if your neck needs breaking. And here are the hosts of 7-5 Radio, Walter Yerkew, star of the biggest documentary movie ever made, The 7-5, and Peter Scoop Stanton, who starred in To Catch a Predator.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, one and all. This is Peter Scoop Stanton with a special co-host. Mr. Yerkew is still out sick. We wish him a speedy recovery, but he is recovering on Miami Beach, Florida. We have a very special guest co-host. He is not a guest, but a co-host. Will be riding shotgun with me the entire hour tonight. It is none other than... our next governor of the state of New York, that is Andrew Giuliani. How are we doing tonight, sir?
Scoop, great to be on with you. Thank you very much for having me. I hope Walter gets better here soon. But it's an honor to join you for the entire hour over here. You know, we're going to run out of things to talk about. I don't think so. I got a feeling between you and I we'll be able to fill some airtime.
Exactly. And as always, we want to remember the members of the law enforcement community who were murdered in the line of duty. I have some good news. We have no names to read off. It was a so-so week because even though we have no members of the law enforcement community who were murdered in the line of duty, we had no number of officers shot. In Phoenix, Arizona, we had 5 officers shot. A total of 9 officers were injured in a crazy shootout at a house in Phoenix, Arizona. And in Frederick, Maryland, north of the District of Columbia, we had 2 officers shot in line of duty. Both those officers were rushed to Baltimore to a trauma center by Maryland State Police. And unfortunately, the shooter is still alive and he is also recovering. Now, besides needing a co-host this week, I decided to do something special. Earlier this week, legendary radio host Curtis Sliwa had none other than former Mayor Rudy Giuliani on his show on the legendary 77 WABC. So I figure, why not? We'll do it like father, like son. So here on 7-5 Radio, we have Andrew Giuliani. And hopefully our show will be more entertaining than the Curtis Sliwa show. But anyways, Andrew, I wanted to bring you on because you've been such a great guest. Last time you were on, we were talking about the murder of the 2 officers up in Harlem. And I want to do a panel for format with myself, Walter, our buddy Sean Bergen. He was a reporter for News 12 New York for a decade, also for years as yourself, since you're a politician, but not a politician. You say what's on your mind. And I wanted to do a roundtable forum. And you came on not knowing what the deal was, but you were absolutely stupendous. You didn't make it about yourself. And it was one of our best shows, despite the very difficult subject matter. So I figured, you know, Rudy, your father was a great radio personality. He had his show on WABC, and you've been a great personality and a great asset to 7-5 Radio. So why not? We'll have him co-host. So pleasure to have you on as a co-host. And, sir, the floor is yours. Your dime, your dance. Let's roll.
Well, it's, you know, look, it's been, first off, it's an honor that you would think about me and having me on. And you know, any time that I can stand up for law enforcement, you know, as I said last time, you know, I grew up with these guys. I mean, when my father had a detail, you know, when he was in office, you know, one of the guys is my confirmation sponsor. I still consider 3 or 4 kind of like uncles to me. And so for me, I look at this stuff personally and what I've seen over the last couple of years and what our law enforcement has had to go through. It's actually one of the reasons that inspired me to run for governor, because I really think we need somebody at the helm in New York, right at the very top of, in the governor's chambers, who's going to back our police, who's not going to get blown around by the political winds. You know, look, it's such a dangerous job, and the men and women that stand up and fight. You know, since we last talked, I went to Detective Moore's funeral, and I thought about what Susan Sarandon and the assemblywoman from the Lower East Side said in calling the police in that moment where you had literally lining down Fifth Avenue, basically comparing it to a Nazi raid. And I just kind of thought, I said, first off, you couldn't be any more ignorant whatsoever and disgusting to actually compare that to it. But I said, no, this is an NYPD, a force of 36,000 strong, that has been told for years that they are the problem, when it could not be any more far from the truth, because they truly are the solution to our problems here, not just in New York City, not just in New York State, but across the country. And until you have people that actually are willing to vocalize that, that are actually willing to write legislation that show the importance of our cops and allow them to do the job that they went through the police academy to do, then we're going to continue to see crime rise all across our streets. And as I said, that's one of the reasons that inspired me to run, because I understand just how important our cops are to our communities. And I'll always stand up for them.
Right, right. And I mentioned that last week about Sarandon. I said, you know what? I would boycott Susan Sarandon's body of work or movies or TV show that's coming up, which is just the country version of the show Empire. But I don't watch her movies. I don't care about her. But anyway, and think about her, she's a classical limousine liberal. She lived in some $8 million house apartment in Manhattan, and now she moved out to Vermont or Massachusetts, and she go to these protests or social activist functions or whatever in a private car with security, went home in a private car with security, far away from the people she's so-called supports. But anyways, you're absolutely right, and my thing is that, you know, the media, mainstream media, it has just turned her back on law enforcement for years. And then you would think with COVID, now they chummed up a little bit. They got a little chummy with law enforcement because there was first responders. And of course, that fateful Tuesday, you know, no member of the NYPD could walk down the street without getting a rock star reception. But for after that, it's been, you know, year after year after year after year, just the mainstream media, not only just the Susan Sarandon and the other idiots, but just like the TV news, the networks, CNN, MSNBC, the New York Times, the Washington Post, the Daily News, just totally just dump all over the men and women of law enforcement. And the politicians are getting into the game. Andrew, remember when the members of the House Democrats got on their knee for the death of George Floyd?
I certainly do, for 8 minutes, yeah, and 43 but, seconds.
Right, but guess what? You had twice retired police officer David Dorn, who tried to help a friend's car shop. Right. He was murdered, and somebody broadcast on Facebook Live, and he got nothing. And, of course, there's the bumper music. And, well, we're just getting warmed up. This is Peter Scoopstein with the next governor of New York State, my co-host, Andrew Giuliani. Stay tuned, folks. At the other end of the break, we're going to talk about whatever. The door's wide open. Anyway, stay tuned. This is 75 Radio on Libby News Radio Network, 75radio.org. Take it away, boys.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
The CDC just reported that 7,218 people died after receiving a COVID-19 shot. Granted, vaccines are a complicated concoction of chemicals, and as with any medical experiment, it can take a long time to get it right. This is not the first time people have been hurt when vaccinated. What is different this time, and so concerning, is the reaction to these death numbers. Let me explain. In 1976, the government vaccinated 45 million people for swine flu. A total of 53 people died after getting that shot, and the U.S. government immediately halted the vaccination program. Why? Because authorities decided it was too much of a risk. Why would they halt the program back then for 53 deaths, but now, with over 7,000 deaths, they are using every method possible to force it on you? In fact, now the health authorities are using their power to silence anyone who dares to question the COVID vaccination. Why? Why is anyone that questions COVID silenced? Even doctors are being censored. What's up with that?
Paid for by Emin Bundy for governor. VoteBundy.com.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
You're back, and Scoop is just getting back from posting insults on Twitter. This is still 7-5 Radio.
And we are back. This is 7-5 Radio. We are red hot and rolling. It is February 12th, 2022. Happy birthday to keyboardist Ray Manzarek from The Doors. He was born on this date, February 12th, 1939, and we miss him dearly. Anyways, we have a very special co-host. It is none other than Andrew Giuliani, the next mayor, correction, the next governor of the state of New York. And of course, there I go again.
We're getting better, though. You know, that's okay. We're getting better on this one. So, and I look at it this way. Looking at our mayor in New York, and maybe I don't know if we had any ideas for the next segment, we could talk about him a little bit, because it has been so disappointing. And look, I obviously, as you mentioned before, back Curtis Sliwa. He's endorsed my campaign for governor. He's been a friend for 30 plus years and a guy who's really put his life on the line to help clean up the streets in New York. And you see a guy like Adams who comes in. And unfortunately is, you know, does nothing about brag, and has basically spoken out of both sides of his mouth. Not only that, I mean, how about what he said about white cops calling them crackers? I don't even know if I can say that on air or what it is, but could you only imagine if it was the other way around?
Right.
I could not imagine what the heat that was. It would be.
Right. Real quick. We also endorsed, Curtis Sliwa as mayor. In fact, we booked him here on this very show, but in the last second, his campaign pulled out. And Andrew, I was a member of the service when under your father's administration for a very short time. And when this idiot mayor was saving New York City from behind a desk, and the things he would say about your father and the police commissioner and the men and women that his fellow brothers in blue was absolutely just jaw dropping. And I was, you know, it perplexed me. It's like, how is this man still has this cushy job, either police pause or wherever, and didn't get busted down and didn't work my first command, which is chasing bums on the subway in the middle of the night up in the Bronx. But and we said it. It's like, you know what? I knew this guy from 20 plus years ago, and he's going to do absolutely nothing for the city of New York, and he's done nothing for the city of New York. And you would think him being a former crime fighter, you know, he'd be out there like doing more than what your father did. But please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, no, look, crime is up now, I think 40%, you know, and I think it's almost in, it's in all five boroughs where crime is up since he's taken over the first month and a half of the year. But, you know, it's interesting. I heard that Adams this week called my father a racist. I know he called Curtis a racist. I think he called even Andrew Yang a racist. He's been doing this for 25, 30 years, and it's really the only, he's a one-trick pony. If somebody criticizes him, the only thing he knows how to do is call somebody a racist. And unfortunately, I think that's really the kettle calling it black, because, I mean, when you see exactly what he said out there about his white police officers, I think, unfortunately, he's playing the race card way too much instead of considering what he should be doing to make sure he's protecting the 36,000 members of the NYPD and, by the way, the 8.5 million New Yorkers that he works for.
You're right. You're absolutely right. And what gets me about worst part about it was, you know, I, you know, we worked well on the same department, roughly the same time. His career is much longer than mine, but I considered every man and woman on that job my brother and sister. I mean, color was not a factor when you put on that uniform, because I had bosses, supervisors that were, you know, would go through the gates of hell for his fellow cops, and I looked up to them and learned from these officers who happened to be a different shade of color than I am. But for this guy to say, you know, he kicked all them cracking asses by taking a test, you know, he kicked their asses by getting promoted. You never hear him about any stories of him saving lives or taking down criminals or anything like that. It's like, yeah, okay, I kicked your ass because I made supervisor. Okay, well, good for you. You did it sitting at police plaza. It wasn't, you know, wasn't District 3 up in Harlem. Wasn't the in precincts up in the Bronx or out in East New York, Brooklyn, or Northern Manhattan. No, it was down police headquarters. Way to go there, yeah. Adams. You know,
yeah,
the next Wyatt Earp.
Yeah, and Scoop, to your point, you know, and as a civilian, I can tell you, I saw this. I mean, you see that, you know, whether you're Hispanic, whether you're African-American, whether you're Irish, whether you're Italian, whatever the background, Asian, I've seen just how the NYPD, how law enforcement bonds together. And it really is for I would say, the overwhelming majority of police officers. I would exclude Adams from that when I say overwhelming majority. But it really is a brotherhood where, you know, people aren't looking at colors or ethnic backgrounds or religion or anything like that. You know, when you put that shield on and you go out there and you put your life on the line, you know, you're doing something far greater than anything that could divide us because of skin color or race or religion. So for me, it's something that's really sad when you see him continuing to try to divide on those lines.
Right, right. And you would think that New Yorkers would know better. They had 8 years de Blasio, who was just the absolute worst. I mean, him and Abe Beame could run for – they're in competition neck and neck for worst mayor of the city of New York. The city went right to hell. He's worried about parents choosing a gender. Andrew, is that how you feel?
Scoop, you're absolutely right. Parents, they are asking parents to choose a gender. I was blessed enough to have my first child a little more than 2 months ago. And when she was born, and I'm filling out the birth certificate the second night in the hospital, and they give me the option, male, female, or other. And I got to tell you, you know, I changed her diaper. I looked under the hood. I'm going to be the only guy who looks under the hood for 25 years, but she's a female, and that's what she is biologically, and that's what she's going to remain, you know?
Right. Crazy. Right. Right. Yeah. I don't mean to laugh, and I'm sure once your that beautiful girl is born, your whole life changed forever. You know, everything in life is secondary. Right.
And I realize what we're fighting for.
Right. Right. And my youngest daughter, she's 11 going on 21, but anyways, and she became a diva at 4, but she's still daddy's little girl. And what was that movie? Den of Thieves. Remember, ever seen the movie Den of Thieves with the scene in the garage? Yep.
I have. Like, yep.
That's going to be the Stanton household in a couple of years. I'm sure that'll be the Giuliani household. But anyways, man, I mean, De Blasio was just horrendous. I mean, he was going to put cops, you know, guarding the beaches from people swimming. I mean, but they said, okay, well, you have two so-called crime fighters. You know, Curtis Sliwa, who's been there and done that as a civilian. He's not a member of the service. He didn't have any police powers. He didn't have any weapons. Just as a civilian, him and a bunch of other volunteers, he volunteers his time to ride the subways in the middle of the night that, you know, no person back in the day would want to go on. And then you have Eric Adams, who kept Police Plaza safe during his tour duty. And but people voted for Eric Adams again.
And I don't mean to laugh, but I'm laughing at the hypocrisy more than anything else, because it's just it really, really is. And obviously, look, I want the mayor to be successful, whatever his background is. I mean, whatever is going to be, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, you know, I want to make sure we have a mayor that's going to come in there and actually take what's been 4 years of rising crime in New York City and bring it back down and get it under control. But talking out of both sides of your mouth the way that he is now, and calling, you know, white cops crackers is not the solution. It's not the way to do it, Mayor. So he's got to get his head out of his you-know-what and get straightened out.
Right. I mean, does the mayor think Brian Mulkeen was a cracker? Does he think Paul Tazulo was a cracker? Or the officers that died on September 11th going down to the towers, were they crackers? You know, but nobody – and, of course, we're the only ones calling them out on that. I mean, why isn't the – well, we know why the media's not calling him out, because he's a Democrat and he's a person of color. So, anyways, coming right up, we're going to have more of Andrew Giuliani. Stay tuned, everybody.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Biden warned Russian President Vladimir Putin on a phone call of swift and severe costs if Russia escalates tensions by invading Ukraine. According to the White House, Biden also said that a further Russian invasion of Ukraine would produce widespread human suffering and diminish Russia's standing. Russia continues military exercises on the border with Ukraine with almost 100,000 troops. Also, Secretary of State Antony Blinken spoke on the phone with Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov. Officials are warning U.S. Embassy personnel to evacuate from the capital of Ukraine. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan.
We want to be crystal clear on this point. Any American in Ukraine should leave as soon as possible, and in any event, in the next 24 to 48 hours.
This is USA Radio News.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or if, like a lot of people, you just have a plan you're not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare. It's a Christian healthcare sharing program. There are more than 400,000 members now, and they love it. In fact, MediShare has double the customer satisfaction rate compared to that of health insurance. And MediShare really is the gold standard when it comes to healthcare sharing. It's been around more than 25 years. Members have shared more than $4 billion of each other's medical bills. Plus, MediShare is for you. It has saved its members billions by advocating on their behalf. Best of all, the typical savings for a family is around $6,000 a year. So if you think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, think again. MediShare has a 98% customer satisfaction rating, and you are invited to be part of it. Call now. 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
The Supreme Court has once again ruled against an attempt to block vaccine mandates.
The nation's highest court rejecting a request from a group of New York City public school teachers who were hoping the court would block the city's vaccine mandate. Those teachers making the request after not receiving a religious exemption. Justice Sonia Sotomayor rejected that request with no explanation, but she also rejected an earlier challenge to the mandate, the appeal claiming the vaccine mandate violates religious freedom. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
The man accused of killing six people and injuring dozens more after driving his vehicle through a Christmas parade in Waukesha, Wisconsin, pleaded not guilty to his charges on Friday. An attorney for Daryl Brooks Jr., 39, entered the pleas on 77 charges, which include six counts of homicide. The attorneys also asked that the jury be sequestered for the duration of the trial. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Wow, you're still listening? Here's more 7-5 Radio.
And we are back. This is 7-5 Radio with special guest co-host Andrew Giuliani. That's right. Andrew Giuliani is co-hosting. We either go big or go home. So I was like, there's got to be a big name or I'm not doing the show. But anyways, I can't be more than happy that Andrew's on the show. I got word
I heard you weren't going to do the show, and I was like, "Come on, Scoop, we got to have you doing the show. Come on!" So that's why I came in. I wasn't going to do it, but when I heard you weren't going to do it, I was like, "We can't have that." You know, people would not be able to sleep Saturday night with the Super Bowl tomorrow if they couldn't hear you tonight. You know?
Right. Yeah. I'd lose both my fans would be upset. But anyways, speaking of. Anyways, real quick, before I want to do the sports report, Andrew, I got word that you're doing a bang up job. You're doing great, and your co-host needs a little work. And the person who dropped me that line happens to share my last name and my home address, but we'll save it for later. But anyways,
my wife is always my toughest critic as well, so I know the feeling.
That's it. But anyways, tomorrow is the Super Bowl, and we got the Winter Olympics going on, and I really don't care. I'm sick and tired of sports getting in our face, telling us what to do, what to think, how to act, and I just don't care anymore. I said, you know, people used to want to get away from it all by watching sports. Now they get away from sports. Andrew, any predictions for tomorrow's Super Bowl, which I probably won't watch?
Yeah, you know, look, I tell you, it's really interesting you say that because I stopped watching baseball after everybody kneeled in 2020 and they came back from the pandemic. And I really have probably watched over the last 2 years, and I love baseball. I've maybe watched 15 to 20 innings total over the last 2 years. And with football, it's kind of the same thing. Once they started getting political in 2017 and you started seeing everybody kneeling, and I know Kaepernick did it a little before then, but it was just it wasn't an active kind of decision where I said, I'm just not watching zero of it. But I got to tell you, I probably watch about 90-95% less football than I used to. I'm a big Giant fan. Maybe it has something to do with the fact the Giants can't win more than 4 games a year. But the truth is, it's just it's terrible because when you think about it, right, sports is supposed to be another uniting factor. It doesn't matter if you're white or you're black, if you're a police officer or civilian, doesn't matter if you're Jewish or Christian. When you got the Yankee pinstripes on, for example, you're all pulling together, pulling for New York. Instead, what they've decided to do is they've decided to, you know, introduce 2 national anthems now. At the Super Bowl, which I believe is what they're going to sing. You've got a guy like Snoop Dogg, who has talked about killing cops, killing the sitting president of the United States in President Trump, when he was in office. And it's just, to me, it's really, really sad. So, yeah, look, the truth is I will watch some of the game tomorrow, but it's a little bit half-hearted. And unfortunately, whenever the political stuff comes on, I just change the channel because, to me, sports should be one of those escapes that bonds us together, not divides us more.
Exactly. But kudos to the New York Rangers from when Officer Rivera and Mora were murdered. They did put their names up on the screen. They did have a member of New York's Finest sing the national anthem. But, Andrew, I remember after September 11th, the Giants played the Kansas City Chiefs in Kansas City. Yeah. And I swear to God, you thought it was a Giants home game. So the Giants were coming out, and they're giving cheers because they had that NY on their helmets. And it's just absolutely spectacular. And also, one other point is that for the New York Yankees logo, that interlocking NY for New York that they have on that came from the NYPD Medal of Valor. So, you know, New York's – go ahead.
No, you're absolutely right, and it's interwoven, right? I mean, the NYPD and the New York Yankees are interwoven
And so that's why when you know, I always said this too, a couple of different things on this. First off, I think of the hypocrisy of these players kneeling when you have the police literally are out there. I mean, what does it take, about 300 NYPD officers to guard Yankee Stadium on a game day? I think it's about 500 Jersey State Troopers for a Giants or Jets home game. So while you have all of these police officers that are out there on duty making sure all of these players are safe, you have these players that are out there kneeling, protesting the police officers that are doing their job to keep them safe. Not only that, if any one of these players, if they ever had an issue, who would they call first? They would call 911, and immediately they'd be the cop's best friend. So to me, it's just the hypocrisy just drips off of this stuff. And I think, you know, it probably drives you even more nuts than it does me. But it's one of those things. Anytime I walk past the stadium, I just look and I think, you know, they're keeping these athletes safe who are protesting the very same people that are protecting them.
Right. And then all of Yankee security is retired members of NYPD. And also, yeah, one other bit of sports bit. Walter, he was on duty at Shea Stadium back in 1986 for game number 6 when that idiot parachuted into Shea Stadium. And they wanted to give him the collar, but luckily he was able to pass it to somebody else. But anyways, and we had Lenny Dykstra on the show as a guest. But unfortunately, despite being a very outspoken individual and very colorful, he wasn't the best of guests. But anyways, moving right along.
Nails might have been a little nailed at the time, if you will, maybe.
Right. But I mean, it just, but what's funny about Lenny is, like, I contacted him on social media and he gave me his cell phone number and he came on and, you know, he did what he could and, you know, but, you know, it was one and done. But what's funny is that after he came on our show, he went on Anthony Cumia's network and did a trailer, I guess, or for a podcast. I don't know if he's going to have a show or not. He did one show and, you know, one and done. But anyways, moving right along. What else we got? What else can we do to save New York? We're going to get. When you become the next governor, and hopefully I get an invite to the inauguration, and every bummy. In fact, I'll be the guy at the podium standing next to you as you're giving your inauguration speech.
You know, I jokingly tell that, you know, the reason why my father's been backing me so hard is because he wants to make sure that he interrupts my inauguration speech the way I do him. So he's obviously welcome to all the ceremonial stuff and all that, but I think I'm going to have to give him bad tickets to the inauguration because I'm worried right. He's going to come in and interrupt my speech. So.
That's okay. We can have New York State Troopers make sure you're far away from the podium.
I don't think they could stop him. I don't know. He's pretty determined when he gets something in his mind there. So.
Right. That's why he's the great Rudy Giuliani. But anyways, back to my former home, which I hope to retire to in the not so distant future. I mean, the three states are a mess. Actually, four: New Jersey, Illinois, California, and of course the Empire State. Yeah. And you know, my family was born and raised in New York, just like yours. And most of us moved out, except my mother and father, who's still in upstate New York. Which is, you know, north to people listening in the five boroughs, upstate is not north of just north of the George Washington Bridge. You know, you got it's almost like another state, but it's still part of New York State. It's Buffalo Bills country. But anyways, every time I go up there, I just shake my head. It's like it's gotten worse. Now, and granted, my parents live like 5 hours north of the city, and just the regulations and the taxes and, you know, the COVID restrictions. I mean, it's just killing people. And, unfortunately, New York State has a great college system. They got the SUNY college system outside of the city of New York, and you got the CUNY system within the city of New York. Myself, I did my education in the state of New York and the city of New York. I went to Princeton on the Parkway in upstate New York. And then I graduated to your father's alma mater of Manhattan College 100 years
Jaspers.
Ago.
Go Jaspers.
Yep. Yep. Anyways, but go ahead.
You know, Scoop, you nailed it. And you mean you aside from the fact and obviously looking at, you know, the crime issues that we're having in New York and bail reform, I think, is the one thing that's consistent. When you look at over the last couple of years, crime really spiking around the state. Obviously, we focus and a lot of the national media focuses specifically on New York City. But just look at the fact that Rochester had the most murders ever in recorded history. Buffalo last year had one of the highest violent crime rates ever in their history. Albany's violent crime was up 40%+. So from a crime perspective, we need to trash bail reform on day one. It has been an unmitigated disaster. And the fact that Kathy Hochul would not even mention it in her State of the State speech shows you that she absolutely has no intent to do anything about crime and doesn't care about law enforcement.
Right, right. Anyways, Andrew, stick around. We got one more segment. Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be right back.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Decades after Jimmy Carter, Joe Biden picked up where he left off. With America surrendering to terrorists, Biden's foolish spending is causing inflation, which means more pain at the pump, higher prices on groceries, devaluing your retirement savings when you need it most. Once was a mistake. Twice is a disaster. America needs strong leaders, not weak ones. Save America JFC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
I think that my family has always had a big influence on me for not smoking because since I was little, I was taught that smoking was wrong.
Recent studies indicate that smoking among teens often leads to the use of alcohol and other drugs.
I think having faith in God is a big part in it because the way I was raised has helped to avoid smoking.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Hi, I'm Dave. I'm 7 years old. I'm sitting here in the corner having a time out until Mom comes to talk to me. All I did was cut my sister's hair. I was just trying to help. I guess Mom didn't like how I did it. In a minute, she'll be back and ask me if I know what I did was wrong. Maybe I shouldn't have cut her hair. And she'll say we all make mistakes because we're just learning about stuff. And she'll give me a hug and we'll end up talking about more stuff.
No matter what you talk to your kids about, love is what they'll hear.
I really like Mom's timeouts, and I think she likes them too. Yeah, I think they help her remember how much she loves me.
A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Visit us at Mormon.org.
This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yuku. I mean, Walter, your cow. I mean, Walter Kiwi. Oh, here's Walton Scoop.
All right, we are back on 7-5 Radio with special co-host Andrew Giuliani. Andrew, I got to apologize about those awful bumpers. You know, good help's hard to find. The narrator is none other than James Edwards. One of my closest friends for 16 plus years. He hosted shows before ours, but anyways, what you gonna do? But And of course, unfortunately, this is the last segment. You know, this is the fastest hour on radio. But before we were interrupted by our last wonderful sponsors, we were talking about what can we do to save the Empire State, because it's not only just New York City that's turned into a war zone. It's Buffalo, Rochester, Syracuse, Utica, Albany, Schenectady, Water of Elite, Watertown, just all going right to hell. But two things I want to, two suggestions I have that might, you know, put crime in its place a little bit is one of them is capital punishment. Mm-hmm. Now, down in Texas, they use capital punishment. It's almost like a slot machine, the one on Bandit being pulled. Do you foresee capital punishment returning to Albany?
It's certainly something that I would push for anyone who is executed and for any police officer shot, you know. And so when I say executed, I think about a poor hostess at the Burger King about a month ago who got just executed in cold blood, obviously for, you know, the and this guy ended up dying, but for Officer Moore's and Rivera's killers. I mean, you know, that's to me, when you go after the badge like that, it should be on the table. So it's certainly something. I know Governor Pataki fought for it 30 years ago, 25 years ago, and it's certainly something as governor that I would want to be on the table for somebody who would do as heinous a crime as that.
Outstanding, because, I mean, you remember back in the day, Mario Cuomo just refused, flat out refused, and vetoed every time the legislature passed capital punishment. Another thing that's near and dear to my heart, because I do live in the Commonwealth of Virginia, is the Second Amendment, personal own firearms. I mean, I think one of the reasons crime could go down in the city and everywhere else if you level the playing field, if people are allowed to legally carry a firearm. And unfortunately, in New York City, it takes an act of God and permission from the Pope to concealed carry. I mean, what's your stance on ordinary citizens just going around carrying to protect themselves? Because, again, New York's turning into the Wild West.
Yeah, well, a couple of things on that. First off, the SAFE Act in New York, I think, is one of the worst pieces of legislation that's ever been passed and signed into law in New York state history. And I look at it as probably unconstitutional when you look at the Second Amendment. Of course, it got through New York's crazy legislature, and you have a judiciary in New York that might be equally as political as the leftist assembly and Senate that we have in New York. So that's certainly something that on day one we would work to repeal. But I would also say this, and this is kind of more of a general 30,000 foot view, but when you think about what the media has done with this defund the police movement, and we know it's Marxist, but what does it really do? It makes it tougher for police to get illegal weapons out of the hands of gangsters. Meanwhile, they want to go after legal gun owners' rights to carry and our Second Amendment rights. I mean, it is completely opposite of the way that we should be thinking about firearms in this country, in this state, and in New York City. So to me, I think it's got to be a complete 180-degree difference in terms of how we actually handle the Second Amendment in New York State.
Outstanding, because I can tell you, like in Virginia, Tennessee, and Texas, where they have open carry laws, you know, a well-armed society is a polite society. So there's direct correlation between, you know, violent crime and gun ownership. But speaking of gun ownership, one famous New Yorker is also leaving the Empire State sooner than later, none other than radio legend Anthony Cumia. I don't know if you heard of him or remember him, but he's sick and tired of all the foolishness that goes on in Albany and City Hall. So he said, you know what, I'm out of here. And, of course, he's moving down here to Dixie. So any comment on guys like Anthony Cumia and other people with or without money moving out of Albany or moving out of New York?
Yeah, well, look, we're losing so many good New Yorkers, so many good jobs, so many businesses, so many opportunities in New York because of not just everything that we highlight and you highlight every week in rising crime and what we're doing and putting the handcuffs on our police officers instead of the criminals. But when you add on top of that the fact that we have an education system in New York that's broken, that literally is owned by the teachers union, where parents don't have the choices that they need. We need more charter schools. We need a tax voucher program, basically a tax credit, so that way families can have more choices when it comes to schooling. That way you could take those high property taxes that we see in so many counties in New York State, and they can apply them to a private or parochial school if their public school isn't performing. It's also because of the incredibly high regulations in New York for businesses. And these aren't businesses just like the Amazons and the Googles that we're talking about. I mean, these are small businesses, one and two employee businesses that end up getting crushed who choose to leave New York. And along with the taxes, where we compete with California to be the highest tax state. And then when you add on top of all of that, the unconstitutional mandates to have our kids continually be masked in schools in New York is absolutely absurd to me. And it has nothing to do with science, and it only has to do with compliance. And unfortunately, we need somebody in Albany. We need people who are going to win public office, who are going to care actually about our students, about our citizens, about our cops, about creating jobs, not about special interests. And unfortunately, that's what we've got right now. And that's why you have so many people that are moving out of state.
Right, exactly. And, you know, that's why people need to get off their asses and go out and vote. And speaking of voting, I noticed on Twitter, one of your fellow Republicans who also wants the chief executive job, I noticed his Twitter starting to look like more like your Twitter. So, anyways, you know, I guess
imitation is the best form of flattery. That's what we find.
Yes, sir. But anyways, Andrew, I gotta tell you, you know, again, you hit it out of the park. You know, we definitely want to get back on. Hell, next time you come on, don't even talk about the politics. Talk about whatever you want, because again, you're better than some of the people we have here on the show as regular staff. But anyways, we got a couple more minutes before we sign off. Your dime, your dance. If you have anything you want to get off your chest, please let the listeners know.
Well, I'll tell you what. I actually have a special guest here who maybe might want to wrap up the show for the last 2 minutes. He knows how to do with a deal with the radio show. But as good as he is on the radio, he might even be a little bit better in dealing with law enforcement and cleaning up a city. So, Mayor Giuliani, you want to say a few words?
Sure, I'd love to. How are you guys?
How you doing, sir? It's an honor and pleasure to speak to you.
I'm doing okay. I wish our country was doing better.
Right. But
very, 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 very concerned about the direction we're going in and doing everything I can to change it.
Right. And Mr. Giuliani, as a former New Yorker and as a former member of law enforcement under your administration, you've done nothing but great things for this country. And this country owes you a debt of gratitude, whether we were a U.S. attorney or mayor of the city of New York or Donald Trump's attorney. And I noticed you did a bang up job with your kids. Andrew is a hell of a guy, but I can't thank you enough for coming on the radio show.
Well, I know your audience is largely law enforcement, and let me say to them that we've got your back. I mean, there are a lot of us that understand what you're going through, and as soon as we can change the politics, there'll be the kind of support that you're entitled to.
Right, and I mean, I hate to say this, Mr. Mayor, but the New York City needs you more now than ever. But
I can't believe what happened with Adams. I mean, we have more crime now than we had under de Blasio.
Right. And, you know, when I was living in the city and working for the police department, you know, my car was unlocked. Nobody broke into it. And you clean up the city. And, you know, the people in New York owe you a debt of gratitude. And also, you know, you were the face of September 11th. And people forget about that, you know. And then you work for President Trump, just like your son. And they throw you under the bus. But, you know, that's mainstream media in a nutshell.
Well, I am very, very proud of everything I did with President Trump. I think President Trump accomplished more in 4 years than almost any American president I can think of, except the one I work for, Ronald Reagan.
Right.
He did a great job, and I think history is going to vindicate him, and I think 22 and 24 is going to vindicate him.
Right. Now, Mr. Mayor, are you in contact with President Trump?
Sure, I saw him last night.
Is he running?
I think, you know, first of all, he hasn't decided. I think if it were now, he would, but, you know, it's not right now. He's concerned as I am. And thank you for what you're doing for law enforcement, and God bless you.
No, thank you, Mr. Giuliani, and the other Mr. Giuliani. This is Peter Skustad with Andrew Giuliani. Yeah, tell everybody, you can make a difference. Go out and make it. See you next week, everybody. And thank you, gentlemen.
This is James Edwards for 7-5 Radio. For those who work the streets and the jails, thanks for keeping us safe. So long, everybody.